Thank you. Good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to the Talking Freight Seminar Series. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's seminar. Today's topic is Freight Analysis Framework 3. Please be advised that today's seminar is being recorded. Before I go any further, I do want to let those of you who are calling into the teleconference for audio know that you do need to mute your computer speakers in order to, else you'll be hearing the audio over both your computer and your phone. I'm going to bring up a poll right now just to get an idea of how many of you are using the voice over IP or over your computer option versus how many of you are using the teleconference option. And if you can just, and it actually says how would you prefer, but if you could fill it out as to how you are using it today, that'll help us just get a better understanding of which options people are using. So today we'll have three presenters: Mike Sprung of the FHWA Office of Freight Management and Operations, Diane Davidson of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and Max Alam of Battelle. Mike Sprung manages the Freight Analysis Framework Program for the FHWA Office of Freight Management Operations. His efforts are focused on the integration and analysis of freight transportation data from a variety of sources to estimate commodity flows and related transportation activity among states, regions, and international gateways. Prior to his work at the Federal Highway Administration, he managed the International Trade and Transportation Data Program at the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, and has also worked as a survey statistician on the Commodity Flow Survey at the U.S. Census Bureau. Diane Davidson has 30 years of experience in executive leadership, transportation management, transportation planning, and operations. She currently serves as the director of the Center for Transportation Analysis at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. She previously served the state of Tennessee as director of rail, transit, and waterways from 2004 to 2007. She founded and directed a regional nonprofit organization, the Transportation Management Association Group, which became nationally recognized for excellence in transportation innovation, demand management, and operations. She served on the National Metropolitan Planning Organization Technical Coordinating Committee from 1988 to 2004. While at TMA, she founded and served as general manager of the Franklin Transit Authority. She is the project manager for the National Freight Analysis Framework Version 3 for FHWA. Max Alam is a research leader for the Battelle Transportation Group and has more than 25 years of progressive experience in civil engineering practice, education, training and research in pavement management, traffic engineering, and transportation planning, transport policy as it relates to freight modeling, highway infrastructure management, construction and contract administration, traffic information systems, geographical information systems, and project management in Canada, US, and Asia. He has published a number of papers related to freight modeling, highway inventory, and traffic data integration and management as it relates to decision-making and GIS applications in highway and transportation engineering. Since its inception, he has been working for FAF as the principal investigator for the freight assignment and the capacity components. I'm now going to go over a few logistical details prior to starting. Today's seminar will last 90 minutes, with 60 minutes for the speakers and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. If during the presentations you think of a question, please type it into the chat area. Please make sure you send your question to everyone and indicate which presenter your question is for. The presenters will be unable to answer your questions during their presentations, but I'll start off the Q&A session with the questions typed into the chat box. Once we get through all of the questions that have been typed in, the operator will give you instructions on how to ask questions over the phone. If you think of questions after the seminar, you can send it to the presenters directly, or I encourage you to use the Freight Planning listserv. If you haven't already joined the listserv, the web address at which you can register is provided on your screen. Again, I'd like to remind you the session is being recorded. A file containing the audio and visual portion of the seminar will be posted to the Talking Freight website within the next few weeks, and we encourage you to direct others in your office that may have not been able to attend today to access the recording. The PowerPoint presentations used today are available for download from the file download box in the lower right corner of your screen, and the presentations will also be available online. I'll send out an email to all attendees once the presentations, the recording, and a transcript are available. One final note, Talking Freight seminars are eligible for 1.5 certification maintenance credits for AICP members. In order to obtain credit for today's seminar, you must have logged in with your first and last name, or if you're attending with a group of people, make sure your first and last name is typed into the chat box. I've included more instructions in the file share box on how to obtain your credits after today. Please also download the evaluation form and submit it to me after you've filled it out. I also encourage you, even if you aren't applying for credits, to fill out the evaluation form and send it to me. So we'll now go ahead and get started. Today's topic is Freight Analysis Framework 3, And before we go into our presentations, I'm first going to turn it over to Tony First, Director of the FHWA Office of Freight Management and Operations.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is indeed a pleasure to kick off this session of Talking Freight. As many of you know, FAF is the most comprehensive publicly available data set on freight movement in the U.S. It covers our entire transportation network and covers all modes. The manner in which we do all the work is open and available to anybody who wants to take a look at it, and we are always open to suggestions on how we can continue to improve the services that FAF provides, both at the national level, the state level, and the local level. Before we get started, I want to take the opportunity to acknowledge all the hard work that Mike and his team of contractors have done. Everybody likes to take a look at the maps that you see currently on the slide, which show the freight flows throughout the country. And that front end of the freight analysis framework is what we use in a whole host of settings, and I'm sure many of you use it in a whole host of settings as well. But underneath all of those maps, there is an inordinate amount of number crunching and data work that I don't want to call Mike and his team of contractors the mechanics under the hood, but they really are in the nuts and the bolts of FAF, working through all the details of how you get all of that data compiled, put together, analyzed, and then flowed over the network. There is a huge amount of really, really hard work that takes place to get these maps published. I appreciate it, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank Mike and the team of contractors that work with him for the work that they have done. And so today's session is going to kind of walk you through some of those nuts and bolts about how FAF 3 has changed from where we were with FAF 2. It continues to evolve and improve. And with that, I will turn it over to Mike, again, with thanks to you and Max and Diane and all the other people that you have working with you for the monumental lift it takes to get this to where it is today. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Tony. I certainly appreciate being acknowledged for that, and I also appreciate you acknowledging the contractors, that the excellent contractors that worked with me through this whole thing and have really made this possible. All right, so let me start off by defining FAF a little. Tony gave us a good intro, and it's a little repetitive to what I'll say, but the Freight Analysis Framework version 3, which we call FAF 3, is a freight transportation data program that designed to provide a comprehensive picture of freight movement in the United States. We frequently refer to it as a model because of the traffic assignment procedure used to create those freight flow maps that made FAF 1 and 2 so famous. But as Tony pointed out, there's a lot more to FAF than just the model, although that is a big piece of it and usually ends up being the face to the public. The database that makes that traffic assignment possible is really the result of an enormous data compilation and a harmonization effort that results in the only publicly available comprehensive regional flow database for the entire country. FAF was designed to provide an understanding of the current and future pressures of freight movement on the transportation system. These are some examples of the type of issues that need to be understood, how freight movement affects congestion, infrastructure, safety, how congestion, delay, and cost affect freight movement, how shifts in the economy and shifts among regions affect freight movement, how policies affect freight movement, and what are the consequences of those? Where can investments be made to improve operations or increase capacity? Decision makers need this understanding to guide investment policies that will address expected growth in the demand for freight, as well as to keep the economy moving. This understanding of freight movement is built on answers to seemingly simple questions made very complicated by the size of our country and the transportation network. How much and what is moving to and from where, how it's getting there, and when does it move? With answers to these questions, we can start to link freight to its benefits and consequences and develop ways to support the positive and mitigate the negative. FAF 3 answers the how, what, and where questions from the previous slide at a national scale for 2007 and provides forecasts for every 5 years out to 2040. The Commodity Flow Survey done by the Census Bureau, which is part of the Economic Census, is
the largest source of input data in FAF and provides the majority of the domestic freight movement data. But it's only conducted every 5 years. So we also produce annual provisional estimates for the most recent year based on trends from current mode-specific sources, international trade, and regional economic data. We also use the origin destination matrix to conduct the network assignment I mentioned previously on regional flows, and that allows us to display truck trips, tonnage, congestion, and such on the national highway network. Now, since FAF only deals with annual averages, we have to turn to other data sources to answer the questions of when for daily and seasonal variations in freight activity. One such source is the Freight Performance Measures Program, which is also managed by the Federal Highway Administration's Freight Office. This program monitors truck activity continuously on interstate highways and at major border crossings to measure freight performance on the national network. This slide just shows some of the data elements, well, all of the data elements that are included in FAF 3. The value and weight for all domestic and export and import shipments. We have 8 domestic modes: truck, rail, water, air. Multiple modes in mail are combined in one, pipeline, other and unknown. And the 8th one we've actually added, if for those who've used the FAF 3.0 data that we released in July, we've also added a no domestic mode category because there's a number of import shipments of crude petroleum that do not move beyond the port of entry. They're basically offloaded from a vessel directly at the refinery. So we needed a way to handle that in FAF, and the no domestic mode category was our solution. We also have 7 foreign modes that match the domestic modes minus the last one I mentioned. There are 123 domestic regions that are taken directly from the regions used in the commodity flow survey. We've also have 8 international regions, Canada and Mexico individually, and then there are 6 groupings of countries based on UN definitions. We also, no surprise, get the commodity classifications from the commodity flow survey, and there is 43 two-digit SCTG codes. This is a map of the regions that are included in FAF 3, and as I mentioned before, the domestic and the foreign regions combined end up with 131 regions that cover state portions of large metropolitan areas and the balances of states. There are 11 new metro areas that were added this time around versus if you used FAF 2 in the past, and we had to have additional international gateways in FAF that differed from the regions used in the commodity flow survey previously. But this time CFS incorporated these 11 new metro areas, 9 of which were focused specifically on international gateways that were selected for the volume of foreign goods moving to and from the U.S. through them. So we now our regions are directly in line with the commodity flow survey, so any comparisons between those should be a little bit easier. I should also note while I'm talking about international shipments is that FAF 3 also identifies where international freight flows enter and leave the country. So we'll have a foreign region, a U.S. region where the flow enters or leaves, and we'll have a domestic origin or destination as well. The bottom line is really that FAF provides the only total picture of freight movement for the nation and its major corridors. It shows states and localities where they fit in the national and global freight system, and this is essential for most places where the majority of freight is inbound, outbound, or through traffic rather than local. While FAF does an excellent job of illustrating freight flows at this regional level, it does need to be supplemented with locally specific data for planning of local projects. And with that, I'm going to move past the microphone on to Diane from Oak Ridge National Lab, who's going to tell a little bit more details about how we assembled this origin destination matrix. And Diane, if you're ready,
Actually, Diane, if you could hold on 1 second. I think we're having some audio problems here. I'm going to see if we could just pause a second and if I can reconnect the computer sound for everybody. So if you give me 1 second. Okay, we'll see if this worked. You can go ahead. Diane, you can go ahead when you're ready.
Yes, can you bring up my presentation?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my fault.
I'm running back to the beginning.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. ORNL was very happy to be involved in FAST 3. We participated in FAST 2 and pleased to be on this panel today. Mike's covered a lot of the basics, so I'm going to pick up from there. OCDM, origin, destination, commodity mode database is the most comprehensive database to examine geographic relationships, freight movements by mode and commodity in terms of value. And I know that the user community of regional, state, local planners and consultants makes great use of this because there are estimates of total volumes of freight that's moved into, out of, within the U.S., between individual states, major metropolitan areas, sub-state regions, and major international gateways. So in order to address the dimensions, the flow dimensions needed for reporting, we have 131 origination regions, 131 destination regions, the 43 commodity classes at the SCTG two-digit level, and the 7 modal classes with 8 in domestic, as Mike described. When you put all this together, the full FAST3 flow matrix has almost 500 million data cells that need to be either estimated or suppressed as having a zero value. And that's a large job, and that's the work of ORNL. This overview of FAST3 data projects shows that the beginning of all the other products that starts with creating the ODCM annual freight flow matrix, and then the additional products flow from that. So this figure shows the functional linkages between these various data products. I think Mike covered most of these from the set of the ODCM matrices of annual tons and dollar values, then the assignment of the spatially disaggregated FAST flows for traffic assignment purposes, for the purpose of ton mileage computations and infrastructure capacity analysis. And Max Alam will speak to that methodology for the network assignments later in the presentation, so I will not address that in mine. And then additional products are the long-range forecast, which this year the future year freight flow forecast will go out to 2040. And then a fourth product will be the provisional updates based on the latest data available on mode and commodity specific economic activity and traffic growth. I do want to mention a fourth product that's coming your way, and I think the user community will be very pleased with this new feature of FAST. It's an online web-based tool for extracting data elements from FAST3, and Mike's going to discuss and present this tool after Max concludes his presentation. So now we're going to move on and talk about how this flow matrix is constructed. I'm going to give a very high-level overview of these major data modeling steps involved with generating the freight flow matrix. I think the first thing to say about it is that it draws from many data sources, but the most important is the CFS. As you know, CFS is conducted every 5 years as part of the U.S. economic census with major funding from BTS. It reaches a subset of all the American establishments. Participation is mandatory. Data is collected on all shipments from surveyed establishments. And notably, in 2007, about twice as many establishment samples were recorded as in 2002. So we had about 100,000 samples. We only use the domestic portion of the CFS in what we're putting together. But even with this larger sample, the CFS is missing about 30% of the total FAF in value and about 32% in tons. So that means that we start with a very large and a very sparse ODCM CFS table. Only about 5% of the cells contain non-zero flow values. So we're up here talking about our in-scope flows, meaning they're contained in the CFS, and yet the table is very sparse, and we need to create a methodology that will address the gaps and fill in the missing cells. So the approach taken is to use a variety of missing value inferencing techniques together with the results of applying spatial interaction and other data models to a variety of carrier reported and economic activity data. And then that yields an estimate of about the 40% tonnage or so of the U.S. freight movements that are not captured by the CFS. Notably, if there are no observations in the CFS, these zero-valued cells are treated as zeros and are constrained to be so within the FAF. However, many CFS cells are reported as suppressed for reasons of confidentiality or statistical reliability and therefore need to be estimated by the FAF. So the estimation of these missing cell values in FAF 3 occupies a great deal of time and effort. We use a three-step process to accomplish this, and we start with a log linear IPF routine that uses a variety of methods to identify sampling versus structural zero-valued cells. And so we can break down into about three steps. Step one, maximum likelihood-based log linear modeling and iterative proportional fitting, known as our LL/IPF procedure, and was developed by RNL, is used to fill gaps in the data set, adopting in the process the CFS geographic zoning system as the basis for the FAF3 zoning system. Then, waterborne commerce, rail car waybill data, and the 2002 commodity flow survey data are used as a reference to estimate the value of the suppressed cells in the 2007. Going back to see, is this truly a zero? Were there shipments that show up in other data sources? Then the log linear model fills in estimates of the suppressed data cells. We now move on to the iterative proportional fitting, and this routine constrains the FAF3 flow matrix to be consistent with the CFS totals. The cells with non-suppressed data in the CFS are constrained to remain unchanged during this process. So after conducting these steps through an iterative process, running the model several times, the enhanced CFS flow matrix is then fully populated at an ODCM four-dimensional level in terms of both the annual tonnage and the annual value of goods transported. However, at this point, it still does not include the flows that are out of scope or undercounted in the CFS. So now our next step is to address the CFS out-of-scope flows. These out-of-scope commodities are presented here, farm-based agricultural shipments, fishery, crude petroleum, natural gas, municipal solid waste, forestry, construction, retail, services, household and business moves, and imports. So we have to assign commodity and mode-specific OD flows to these commodities using other methods. And as you would expect, many different data sources have to be accessed, and a variety of different applications are used. Gravity models to estimate the freight flows and their destinations are implemented when necessary to disaggregate data to state and FAF zones. I won't go over all these, but for instance, for farm-based out-of-scope commodity flow, we use the USDA 2007 agricultural census, and then applied some estimation methods and imputed the missing values, used the origin and shipment distance distribution, and we based that on the 2002 bias to identify possible destinations by agricultural commodity group, and then distributed the amount of products to each FAF destination zone. That's just one example of a process, and each out of scope had its own unique treatment. The documentation that will be that is available on the Federal Highway FAF website will present all the various treatments of the out of scopes. Next, we need to estimate the out-of-scope flow by truck-only mode. And to estimate this, four steps are taken. The first, at the upper part of the page, is to estimate national or regional shipment totals for each industry by the FAF commodity class. And bias, census, national input-output make-and-use tables are applied here. Input-output data is used to convert the out-of-scope industrial sector inputs and outputs to FAF commodity inputs and outputs. Then, step two . Those national shipments are regionalized by ton and value at the U.S. level down to the counties. And we go to county business patterns, sales, and employment data for performing this kind of regionalization. Step three is to estimate the OD flows at the county level. And that uses the spatial interaction models. Step four is then to aggregate the OD estimates from the counties back up to the regional, the FAF region-to-region zones. So at the end of this process, we have FAF out-of-scope region-to-region origin-destination commodity mode flows by industry. But because CFS only captures outbound shipments from domestic firms, it does not include any movements of the foreign imports. So data on foreign trade, including the land crossings by truck and rail between the countries in North America, have to be added to the CFS. So we start with, we have four major areas that we have to estimate. We start with creating a set of international waterborne OD commodity flows. And that's, we sum the U.S. seaport-based flows to the FAF domestic zones and the foreign county-based flows to the FAF international zone totals, distribute those flows from FAF, seaport of entry or exit zones to the FAF internal zones, and we use a combination of Corps of Engineers Pierce data and the CFS 2007 domestic OD distributions if Pierce data was missing. Next, we address the transporter. And we take the BTS transporter freight data set and distribute tonnage and dollar value flows that cross Canadian and Mexican borders into and out of the U.S. to FAB zones. And this involved disaggregating the state flows to the FAB zones. Next, for international air cargo, there were several major steps using the OAI T100 market and segment data combined to determine the weight of international air cargo shipments and the origin port of entry exit destination airports. The results from that were aggregated into the appropriate customs district and compared with the census import export data. Differences in the weight between the two data sets were reconciled then at the customs district and national levels. Then crosswalks from the airports to the customs districts, from the airports to the FAF regions, and from HS commodities to SCTG commodities were used to estimate the international air cargo for FAF. Last, imported and exported petroleum and national gas was developed. In this, there are a number of double counting issues to be aware of. And so crude import and natural gas import were dropped from the treatment of piers and transborder. And instead, we used DOE EIA data to develop the production, and then a gravity model and spatial interaction models to distribute the results. When all that is performed and concluded, the commodity and the spatial zoning system crosswalks are applied to these various data sets to match the FAF commodity classes and the 131 zones. So then we have the data source specific flow modeling and the data gap filling procedure that yields the FAF foreign origin destination commodity flow matrix in the annual tons and dollars. And the results of the log linear model IPF together with the out of scope treatments are added together or merged together, and that actually results in the full FAF ODCM matrix. Before leaving here, I just want to say that another great improvement for FAF was making use of this PIRS data on the movements of foreign freight within the U.S. That wasn't available to us in FAF 2, and it's made considerable improvement in the accuracy and the ability to fill in the missing cells for FAF 3. So to kind of list the various methods and data source improvements, in addition to the PIRS data that improved the allocations of the waterborne imports and exports to the FAF domestic zones, we had the doubling of the U.S. CFS establishment sample. Then we incorporated several additional data sets in an enhanced FAF 3 log linear model. We made greater use of the U.S. inter-industry input-output coefficients and the additional federal data sets in the development of the out-of-scope flow estimates. And I think the last is not a method or a data source, but providing the ability to access FAF 3 data products in a user-friendly web-based data construction and download tool is a significant improvement. You can find these various data products on the Federal Highway FAF website, and I'm presenting that URL on this side for your benefit. So in closing, I want to thank the very clever, talented team that we have at Oak Ridge National Lab who've worked on this project. Frank Southworth, Bruce Peterson, Dave Vogt, Dr. Chen, Ho-Ling Huang, James Lee, all made great contributions, and they're going to be available during the question and answer period to address some of your questions. And then I also want to acknowledge the contributions of the larger FAF team, Macrosys, and Battelle. Last but possibly foremost, the thought leadership on the part of Federal Highway Administration has been very helpful, including Ralph Smith and Mike Sprung guiding us and providing their comments. Mike's deep expertise in foreign trade data was a great factor in the improvement of FAF 3 over FAF 2. So as FAF 3.1 goes live soon, our ORNL FAF team has already begun work to reprocess the 2002 and 1997 FAF matrices in order to create a time series for the user community. Thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you, Diane. I am actually just going to go back one slide and I'm just typing the URL in the chat box here for the FAF website so anybody can get to that. And then I'm now going to turn it over to Max Alam of Battelle. And Max, I'll bring up your presentation. And in a second, I'll go back to the beginning. Okay.
Thank you, Diane. Also thank FHWA. Definitely, Michael Sprung, his great leadership, I guess we're able to pull together this challenging job. Battelle, we did contribute for FAP 1, FAP 2, this time FAP 3 for the similar task. Next slide. Diane already mentioned several things. The way we started this project, the base matrix, flow matrix was developed by ORNL, and then we are supporting Oak Ridge to take those 131 by 131 OD matrix and assign them to network level so that the capacity and other performance measure can be estimated. This slide just give a basic overview, several task component that we had to apply to accomplish the assignment. There is a three main component of this task was update the FAP network, which initially was developed under FAP 1, then updated to FAP 2, and then it also enhanced for the FAP 3. Also, the task 2 was to update the link freight network link specific impedance factor, as well as other physical and operational constraint that comes from the highway performance monitoring database, HPMS data. And the task three was to take the tonnage, convert them to equivalent truck traffic, and then finally assign those tonnage truck as equivalent truck traffic on the network system. I'm going to describe briefly the overall process. This is a very comprehensive process. So if anyone has more question about the specific methodology, given the time constraint, I'll not be able to describe everything in detail, but you are welcome to send email to Mike and or Jennifer. If you want to know more details, also the methodology will be on the website when the project we have done everything. The first task was, I'm going to go a little bit detail on that, FAP3 highway network. The network of the FAP3 is originally developed from the National Highway Planning Network, but the difference is between National Highway Planning Network and the FAP network, we had to make sure that every link that is part of the network is a part of the national network. National network is the federal FHWA mandated truck route network. Also, every year, national highway system is being updated through another office called Office of Intermodal. So another task was to make sure each freight network is updated to NHS, their associated intermodal connectors, as well as any restriction, any recent alignment, especially the urban area that was done after we have done the FAB 2. In addition, during the assignment process, we wanted to make sure that when we assignment is done, the truck is not attracted by those highway link that is restricted for truck movement by state. So we want to make sure that each link, we updated those link with respect to the longer combination designation vehicle, whether there is a hazmat route or not, is there any breeze restriction, and as well as is there any local truck restriction. So that gives us a kind of special component of the geographical component of the basic network. The task two was essential because not only for the assignment purpose, for improving the impedance, but also the end of the day, the another component of the project is to identify to estimate the capacity and the congestion of the highway network. So the idea was that to bring the HPMS database, as I mentioned earlier, HPMS is a FHWA Office of Policy data source that every year it collects the both operational and physical information of the highway, and our job was to how to integrate those things as a part of the network, so that during the assignment process we not only assign the truck by itself, we can also add the passenger volume as a preload. That's kind of typical approach for the assignment process. And then the similar way, the problem happened when you take the state database and try to bring in as a part of the HPMS and part of the network, there is always some drop of flow at the boundary. I think this is because of the jurisdictional reason, or also because of the time when they collected the database. So there is another process apply to make sure that truck percentage, which we normally use as a calibration process for ground truth traffic, is consistent across the state boundary and also the urban boundary. The task three is a more comprehensive in the sense that the OD data that we receive from the Oak Ridge is a tonnage database, but to estimate the capacity of a system or the performance and the delay, we require physical vehicle. So the challenge was to, for given 43 commodities, how to convert those tonnage to different a truck type. I'll be explain more detail in the end of the presentation that what are the truck type and what we used to convert this truck tonnage to equivalent truck traffic. And the matrix that was developed end of the day is a truck OD matrix from the tonnage matrix by classes. FAB 3 assignment, as I mentioned earlier, that since we have done FAB 1 and FAB 2 as a Betal, we want to make sure there is a consistency across the all three program with respect to the impedance that we started. So that under the FAB 3, our main purpose was to improve or update the impedance factor where there is a new designation of highway, or there is a change of speed limit, or other things. So developed an idea. The second one to I mentioned here 123 by 123 is not included the international gateway. So if you add those things, it will be like 131 by 131 OD matrix. So next step was to take the 131 by 131 OD matrix and then disaggregate them to approximately 46,000 by 46,000 OD matrix OD matrix, so that you can we can achieve a more realistic flow on the network. One of the difference between typical assignment process that we do versus the FAB is that the disaggregation process is little bit different in the sense that we have to disaggregate them by domestic matrix, international movement separately. This is because of the nature of the movement and the controlling factor that goes to disaggregation method. We use the proportional approach to disaggregate those OD matrix to 4069 by 4069. This identifying those 46,000 centroid was based on special interaction of various component. One was the 18,000 distribution center, as well as the county business pattern and the VMT surrounding those OD node. We use a Transcad stochastic Israel equilibrium process, and then we use the passenger volume that we derived from the HPMS as a preload. The reason we use this Transcad stochastic user equilibrium approach, capacity constraint, I mean, typically freight is assignment is done AON, all or nothing, or just basic impedance driven assignment. However, because it is a national assignment, problem happen when there is two parallel route. For example, is could be near the Los Angeles I-5 and US State 99. So all or nothing will try to load most of the truck on the I-5, but when you use the capacity constraint, carefully calibrated, you will be able to get a flow that are more consistent with the truck flow that is reported in the HPMS. That's one of the reason we use the stochastic user equilibrium approach. The BPR function, Bureau Public Roads delay function, is used in this for this assignment. And obviously, when you do the assignment, you have to do the calibration. So what we did a multiple trial and error iteration to make sure, in numerous iteration to make sure that overall VMT reported in the HPMS is at least higher than the FAB VMT, and as well as the link specific volume is comparable with the reporting HPMS. Now, it is very difficult to calibrate very specifically, you know, very link specific, is because of the nature of the data and the coverage of the geography. So we try to limit our final calibration on the VMT distribution by FAB truck versus the 2007 HPMS truck. So this is the one of the major tasks is how to take the tonnage and then convert them to the equivalent truck traffic. So first, we did identify the vehicle groups, and these are all based on the BIUS data analysis. Then we identify the select the major body types, and then we try to calculate the percent distribution by vehicle group and body type. Each of them, for each of these body type and their the type of commodity they haul, we try to calculate the mean payload by vehicle group, body type, and also I didn't mention here also by the commodity type. These are then try to calibrate, or I'll say more kind of compare with the way in motion database maintained by the under the Bitrace for the Office of Policy to see the reported byways payload weight distribution and the gross vehicle weight, how they're comparable with that is reported in the way in motion database. And then we try to get the both regional variability, because obviously truck regulation, weight regulation in Montana and Washington is not same as the East Coast. So we try to figure out that is it possible to bring in different weight size regulation as a part of this mean weight load distribution. We found some difference, but given of the complexity, for the purpose of this study, we decided to use the national average when converting from tonnage to truck traffic. These are the five vehicle groups that we used to convert the tonnage, commodity specific tonnage to the vehicle group. Major body types that we used are dry van, dominating character, and the least is a livestock, and obviously there is some automobile, and rest of them we put in other group. So these are the major body types that we used. Now, end of the day, after doing all this thing, we came away some like basic formula to convert each specific tonnage to that carried by a given type of vehicle and a body type. So I have to show this is not that complex. It's just a three dimensional algorithm, end of the day, it's try to give us the vehicle or truck type by a commodity and for each specific commodity, and then we estimate the total trucks. I've not included here the empty truck. These are the loaded truck because we use the tonnage, and then the matrix also added some empty truck based on the empty truck distribution as reported on the VIUS database. Overall summary, this is just a brief, as I said that it is not a four-step process. It is a in between three and two-step process, because Oak Ridge have done the first year of OD matrix development 130, and then what we did, we just take this OD and want to make sure that end of the day, if someone try aggregate them back to 131 by 131, it will the total tonnage will be the same, or total volume will be the same. So I like to call it more kind of two and a half step process. This flowchart diagram kind of summarize what this is about. Now, just given a simple things that for border crossing, as I mentioned earlier, they are disaggregated a little bit different. So the border crossing nodes are shown in light is blue. I'm a color blind, I think. And these are the all the port that deep water port. And then when we combine all this thing, you can see there is a close to 4,609 ODPR, including domestic. And one of the thing that you can see in Montana, this is a one zone for the FAB. So to get, we have to disaggregate those things, you know, in a reasonable way, so that the flow assignment make comparable with the HPMS database. Well, this is just a preliminary. And if the flow, this is the tonnage flow, and this tonnage flow, if someone you have the HPMS flow map, we'll also give the HPMS flow map on the as the part of the report. But this is the flow pattern is very comparable with the flow pattern that is reported in the HPMS. That's in my discussion, but if any detail want you to know, we'll be welcome to take question and from my. And these are the preliminary.
Thank you, Max. I'm going to turn it back over to Mike now.
Yes, thanks, Max, and thanks again to Diane and Oak Ridge. I just wanted to spend the last few minutes here for the speaking portion of this to go over what's actually a major improvement, in my opinion. Aside from all the technical improvements that were made to make the actual FAF data better, it can be as the best thing in the world, but if people can't access it and can't use it, well, maybe it's not worth doing. So this is how we've enhanced the access to the data for this time around, by developing a web-based data summary tool that allows you to extract specific sections of the FAF3 data without having to download an entire database like you did last time, which in fact was even broken up into different pieces between international modes for water, air, and land, and this makes it a lot easier to get at. So, real quickly jump into this. The main page gives the options to still download the entire database in a CSV format or a Microsoft Access. But on the left navigation bar, you can see options to get to some descriptions of the different releases, summary statistics, the data extraction tool, which I'm going to talk about now, and the documentation. So by selecting the data extraction tool option, it brings you to a page where you can select total flows, that would be domestic and international flows combined, or you can select domestic alone, import alone, or export alone. So for the sample here, I've shown we've just selected the total flows option. And you'll notice on the screenshot that I have here, just the year 2007 is there, because what's presently available on the website is our FAF 3.0 data that we released in July. And that was only for 2007. I'll go into more detail about what's going to be included in the release next week when I'm done with this. But you'll be able to select the year, and that will include 2007, then the provisional year of 2009, and our forecast years from 2015 through 2040, every 5 years. You'll have the option. You have the option to select an origin, either combined for the entire nation, by state specific, or down to the FAF geography level, and that's the 131 regions that we've been talking about. And you have the same options on the destination side, the commodity. You can aggregate all the commodities together, you can select all individually, or you can select combinations of them. The same thing applies for the modes. And as simple as that, you pick your options. I think here I did Baltimore as an origin, and mode of truck, and all FAF regions as a destination, and then sorted this by total tonnage by truck. And of course, Baltimore to Baltimore, the within is certainly the biggest piece for truck, but that picture would change if you selected air or rail as the mode. And you can see in descending order there, and you can sort this by value. If you have, if you want to download this to incorporate it, some of these tables can actually get pretty big. You can view it on the screen like this and sort it to make it easier if you're just looking for some simple tabulations. But you can also download the table into a CSV file. And basically, when you open up a CSV file, as long as you have Microsoft Excel or a similar spreadsheet program, it'll incorporate that table. It'll pull that table right in, and you can manipulate it yourself that way.
So in summary, that's really how the data extraction tool works. It's certainly a lot easier than working with a 125 megabyte file with close to 500 million cells in it. Just if you just want to see what's going out of Baltimore by truck, or if you want to see what's flowing between your region and someplace else. So now the timeline. As I mentioned, FAF 3.0 was released in July, and that was the first version of the regional flow database for 2007. And the basic data summary and extraction tool on the website that you see here. Next week, what we will be releasing is revisions to that 3.0 data set, hence the 3.1. We'll also be adding to that the forecasts that go from 2015 to 2040 in 5-year increments, the network assignment maps that Max just discussed, as well as the data for that in ESRI and TransCAD format, the highway link assignment data. And we will also have the provisional update for 2009. Later next year, early next year, we'll be going back and reprocessing the 2002 and 97 data. This is actually an important thing because at the moment, the FAF 3 data is not directly comparable with FAF 2 data. A lot of changes were made to the commodity flow survey. Changes were made to the methodology we used in FAF 3 versus FAF 2. Changes were made to the sources we used. So comparing the two, because of all of those things, the numbers really are not directly comparable, and if you do so, please do so at your own risk. We certainly don't advise it, which is why we're going back and we're going to reprocess the previous year commodity flow data using the same methodologies that we used in FAF 3 to give a better time series for the past. Another potential future product for us will be an online mapping capability, but that'll be beyond the reprocessing of the 02 and 97 data. So to wrap things up, I just want to say that we spend countless hours checking the FAF results and all of the data sources that are inputs to it, but we do rely on users to help us maintain the quality of the data we release. These files, I don't need to say again, are enormous, and the methodologies for each source are varied. So we need eyes that are familiar with the different commodities, the different regions, to help us identify any unexpected results. With that, here's the websites for access to the FAF data. The first one is the FHWA Freight website. Also, a little bit shorter and simpler, easier to remember, is the DOT Freight website, www.freight.dot.gov. But you can also get to the data extraction tool and the FAF 3 files on the Oak Ridge National Lab website at the link that Jennifer posted a little earlier. And that's it. I think we have a lot of questions, so hopefully we have time to get to those. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Mike.